T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to Breakfast Ball. Yes, we do have a name for this golf podcast now. I'm Ben Charleston, joined by Ryan Hannibal as always. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. We'll see if this name actually sticks. I know corporate always has some issues with that, but we're just going to roll with it and do it until somebody tells us to stop.
Yeah, I like it, yeah. Well, we'll figure it out later. We'll go with it now. At least no one can complain about us not having a name anymore, so
this is true.
Start there.
Yes, we have a name. That's for you, Mutt. We do have a name.
All right, so last week, I guess, big news for us in Massachusetts. We get golf back. Golf courses are open in Massachusetts, which with the weather getting nicer, it is a great relief for us to have something like that to come back. It would have been a very long summer with no golf.
Yeah, what was it, like 2 weekends ago where it was like in the 60s and 70s both days, and that was a killer not to have golf. And I think through the month of April, it was a relief that the weather was kind of shitty and, you know, it wasn't really warm. It was raining. And so you could kind of – it wasn't terrible that golf, you know, wasn't around. But then when we got those nice weekends, it was kind of like, you know, where's golf? We kind of need this. And now it's good to have golf back. I've played twice so far, and it's just good to be back on the course. And, yeah, it's a little bit different with the guidelines and such, but it's really, you know, besides just the pin staying in, there's really nothing that really changes on my end.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I've golfed a couple times also, and I know the big thing for a lot of people, or some people, was no carts. And to be honest, I didn't mind it. There are certain courses in Massachusetts, yes, where golf carts would be appreciated. But I'm one of those people, I'm just happy to have golf back. If I need to, I'll grab a push cart and do it that way. But yeah, I didn't really notice any difference between taking the pin out. And to be honest, that's not really a big thing anymore, because I feel a lot of people now are leaving the pin in anyway. Well,
are you one of those guys that, like last year, did you leave it in or take it out?
I did whatever someone, like whoever I was playing with, if someone had a preference. I'm not a good enough putter where it's like one of those things that affects me. Like if someone has a strong preference to it, I'm fine doing either way. But yeah, I didn't really notice a difference between it.
Yeah, see, I hate putting with the flag in. Hate it. Like last year, I hated playing with people that leave it in, and I was kind of the guy that would like take it out, especially on short putts. Like, I remember when I played in Hawaii, the guys that I played with left it in, and like I couldn't putt all day. But for whatever reason, maybe I'm used to it now. Like I putted pretty well last Sunday I played, so maybe I'm getting used to it. And then, like, do you usually ride a car or do you walk regularly?
I'm like 50-50. Again, it depends who I play with. Like if I'm playing with friends, most of them like riding in carts, so I usually take carts. But if I play by myself or like early on in like the weekday or something, I usually walk. And I to be honest, I kind of like walking. I feel like I play better when I walk, because I'm
the same exact way. The guys that I play with on my foursome, most of they usually take a cart just because that's who they are and who we are, so I just take a cart too. But now that we have to walk, and another one of my friends says I'm gonna start walking more just because he's found that same way as you, play better, you focus more. And so I kind of enjoy it. And sure, like those afternoon rounds later on in the summer when carts are back, you want to have a couple beers, sure, I'll be glad to take a cart, but I don't mind walking at all.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. And in Massachusetts, I know that was one of the big things when golf came back, people talking about no carts. And I think they made the right call bringing carts back for people that need them, like yeah, the people that are handicapped and stuff like that. So that makes sense to bring it back for them. But seeing people who play golf and are healthy and able to walk complain about it, it's one of those things. It's like, come on, we had complained so long to get golf back and have this back. We get it back, and it's like, all right, well, now we didn't get carts back, so let's complain more. It's just like, it's like appreciate what we have for at least like a week, 2 weeks, and then you can start complaining about
it. Well, also give it some time, like just like the rest of the state. Things are going to start, you know, opening back up slowly, and I'm sure part of that will be changing these golf guidelines. Like carts will probably come back for single riders. And also, like, I don't know about you, the tee times being 15 minutes spaced out, that's not an issue, but it's at my course, it's not ideal. And I'm sure it's not ideal for every course. Like, I mean, I wanted to play this afternoon with my buddies, and we called yesterday to try to get a tee time after 4 o'clock, and they had nothing just because it's 15 minutes per tee time. And so you're only four tee times an hour. Fortunately, you know, they space out for members on the weekends. I got time Saturday and Sunday, but, you know, golf courses can't have as many people play as they did in the past. And, you know, I think that's something that'll try to get changed too, is sort of maybe go down to 12 minutes or 10 minutes, just because 15-minute intervals is kind of a lot.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I played this weekend in Connecticut with a buddy, and it was kind of nice to have that 15 minutes, just because the course we were playing, there were a couple shorter holes.
Yep.
Where you didn't have guys right behind you, or you didn't have to wait for people in front of you, which was nice. But yeah, like I'm looking at tee times, or I was looking at tee times yesterday for this weekend, and everything's booked up until like 4 p.m. And then it's at like that point, it's not really worth it. So it is one of those things. Yeah, it's nice to have it back, but yeah, like they need to do something with the space out between tee times, because like you're saying, with only four tee times an hour, there's only so many tee times you can get, and they're booking up quickly.
Yeah, like my course reserves time for members on the weekend, usually from 6:30 until, usually it takes until 9:30 or 10 for the public to get open again. Now with the 15-minute intervals, I think the tee times for members are going from 6:30 to like 1:30. So like that just leaves less time for the public, and that means the course isn't making as much money. No carts are making even less money. So I think you're right. We should be happy that golf's back and not complain. But, you know, in a week or two, then I think, you know, people are going to want to have more changes come, especially as they see other things in the state start to change as well.
Yeah, and I think one of those things too, it was – nice to get it open to start, and now it's one of those things, it's like, all right, now that it's open, golf courses can kind of put a little bit more pressure on. It's like, all right, we follow these guidelines, we've done all these stuff, like nothing, we're not having any outbreaks here, like nothing's coming from us, like give us like another, like a little bit of a handout, like, hey, like, all right, you can have carts back, or 10 minutes between tee times, like maybe like every couple of weeks. And they just like, yeah, they just need to stay on the government and just be like, hey, we're following your guidelines, we're doing everything you're told us to do. Like, at least give us a little bit of a sign that what we're doing isn't for nothing, that like what we're doing is working for you and we're doing it right. So give us a little bit of that, something that we can take advantage of.
And there are also, I'm sure there are some percentage of the population of golfers that need a cart to play but don't have a disability. Like if you're, you know, I don't even know, like if you're up there in age and you just can't walk 18 holes. So I think that for those people, they need carts back so they can start to play too. So I think carts will probably be the next thing to come. And also just because it's such a big revenue generator for courses, that they need carts back too, just to start.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know, like looking at stuff. Yeah. Cause you play around, it's what, like $15 extra a person just for a cart. Like,
yeah, it's $16 at my course. And so the members that are playing are basically playing for free cause they already paid their membership. So the course isn't making any money off of that.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting the next couple of weeks what the Massachusetts Golf Association is able to get it, if stuff is starting to open up more in Massachusetts, which I don't know, it doesn't sound great, yeah. But if they can start getting little things here and there, like you said, like, you know, 10 minutes between tee times, and then a week later they get golf carts or something like that, where they can get a little bit more here and there. I think by, you know, mid-June, end of June, if we get, you know, 10-minute tee times, carts back, it'll be a good sign for us.
Absolutely. So I think people just be happy that golf's back, but also realize that, you know, these next steps will be coming. It's not like we're going to be playing the whole summer with no carts and 15 minutes intervals of tee times.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things too, when you're out on the course, make sure you're following the rules. So when people look at this, they're like, all right, like even the golfers are following it. Like, let's give them that little bit of hope that, you know, the next step is coming for them.
Yeah, like, they're seriously, like, doing it. They're patrolling it maybe more than they should. Like, at my course, I know the Board of Health went down there 3 times in a week, just basically trying to make sure that everything's going okay. And the police are going through the parking lot and, you know, riding up the streets that border the golf course. And I understand it, but at the same time, like, people are, you can be more socially distant on a golf course than at a park. And I just think golfers are kind of getting a little bit of a bad rap in a way that they're trying to find issues. Like, I know there was a course, I think, in Reading that a neighbor took a video of a couple of golfers not being socially distant and sent it to someone, and the course got shut down for the rest of the day. So that's just going to happen. I think that, you know, just do your part and golf will, you know, continue to get better and better and better.
Yeah. I still can't believe people do that. Like, the whole video and, like I especially on, like, a golf course, like, if you're talking to someone for, like, 2 minutes staying next to them, I get it. Like, you're not socially distanced, but come on. Like, let's not send videos to people about breaking a little bit of rule like that when who knows? Like, they're probably, like, 4 feet apart and it's something stupid like that.
When you can just go to go down to a sidewalk on, like, a big public walkway, you could find tons more violations than on a golf course. It's just, you know, it is what it is, and I guess that's just something that, you know, we're going to have to deal with for the time being.
Yeah, all right. Well, and then we also got this week the PGA Tour sent out their, I guess, I don't know, the rules for
– Yeah, like guidelines for
– Yeah, guidelines, there we go, for the comeback. It makes sense. Like, it was one test per player for tournament week. It's a lot of your self-monitoring, like temperature, yep. How you're feeling. And I saw if someone tests positive, they just get isolated for 2 weeks. And I did see something they haven't come up with. If a certain amount of people test positive, will they cancel a tournament?
Yeah.
So that will be interesting. But it seems like what they're doing, and with golf again, like, these guys rent house, you know, they're with a family, they're able to self-isolate when even on the course and off the course. So it's not like they're going to be having these big gatherings at their houses that they're staying at, or they're able
to. Yeah, I thought I said that they could either get the option of staying at a hotel, like, that's all the players are going to be at, or they could, you know, go to, you know, a hotel if they chose. But it seems like the tour is doing everything they can to keep, like, sort of a bubble. And not, like, I think one of the things, the memo is they're not allowed to go out to restaurants. They're not allowed to, you know, do that. So they're trying to do everything they possibly can. And like you said, I don't think one player testing positive should shut down a tournament, because then you're not going to have, like, that's just the new reality, I think. And the tour is doing everything they possibly can to, you know, make it safe. No fans, no spectators, no grandstands. I did find it interesting a little bit that they are going to allow caddies to pull up the flags and rake bunkers, just sanitize it after the fact. And I think it's okay. Like, if you're going to take the proper precautions and sanitize it afterwards, you know, why not? Like, it's only whatever, 140 players, so to speak, that are in these tournaments. And if all these guys are in the so-called bubble, then why not have a little bit different rules than the general public?
Yeah, and I think you have to do that with the pros, like raking bunkers, and I don't know, pulling the flag. That's not as huge, but obviously, like you were saying, some guys like with you like putting without the flag in. Obviously, pros are the same way; they have a certain way. But yeah, like raking bunkers, yeah. If caddies, you know, wear gloves, they sanitize stuff, everything, they can take those precautions where it's not every single person using it. You have one person there who wipes everything down after it's touched. It's one of those things. Yeah, it's an easy fix for them, I feel like, and it's not going to take extra time or anything like that if they
just keep those little things. The overall thought from the memo is it seems pretty positive that they're planning on coming back, what is it, June 10th or 13th, whatever, mid-June. Yeah. They're planning to come back for the Charles Schwab Challenge, and like everything is going towards – everything's positive. There hasn't been any hiccups. Like, I don't know if we can do this, do that. I think the mayor of Fort Worth has come out and supported it. The governor of Texas has supported it. So they're progressing towards it, and I think the next step is going to be, you know, traveling from event to event. But also in that guidelines was the tour is going to charter a plane for players to use if they choose. And I think that's another positive too, that, you know, players have the option of not flying commercially. They can get on this charter with the rest of the tour and go to the next site. Like after Texas, it's Hilton Head in South Carolina. So that's going to be, you know, part of the next thing I would say is just making sure the travel is okay, travel logistics. But I think, you know, golf's in a good place to come back, you know, in mid-June.
Yeah, and I'm guessing with like those charter flights too, they'll be testing each player before they get on.
Yeah, it's a 24-hour test before everyone.
Yeah, like it seems, yeah, with like you're saying with the PGA, they're taking all the right steps, it seems like, or at least they have the guidelines in place and to make it work right now. We'll see what happens once we get to the first tournament and like that first flight, maybe the first tournament goes great, no hitches. And then they get on the flight and all of a sudden they all get sick because one player had it. But as of right now, what I'm seeing from them is strong guidelines that they've put in place. They have everything in order, ready to go. And it sounds like right now they're in a good place to get ready for that first tournament, and they sound confident.
And after that first tournament, they'll learn from that first tournament. Like if, you know, one aspect didn't go as smoothly, they can fix it for the next one. It'll be work in progress, and I think it'll only get better in time, not only from just doing it, but also the country as a whole will probably get better, you would think, and testing will become more available, and, you know, precautions will be, you know, people will have more information. So you would just think as the summer goes on, it'll get easier and easier to do. And who knows, like maybe they'll start to have fans back. Like for the first four events, there's no fans, but I thought I saw the Memorial is going to have like tracking devices in their badges, fans badges, to sort of know where everybody is. And if there is a group of people gathered together, someone can see that and come in and say, hey, spread out. So I think the tour is in a really good place. And I think we've talked about this before. Golf's one of the few sports that you can actually be socially distant and even watch the tournament as fans. Like the courses are huge and, you know, you can spread out. Obviously not have full capacity like in the past, but fans can, you know, be present and, you know, be there.
Yeah. And that's like, if they're having fans back, maybe you're not seeing the crazy crowds for Tiger. Cause yeah, fans will have to be spread out, but maybe you'll see guys more, the lesser guys get some crowds with them and get an experience for them that they're not used to. So, yeah, I could see in, you know, a couple months in certain places, yeah, you could have, I don't know, yeah, like you said, 50% fans at these places. And, yeah, it's not going to be the same viewing experience for you. You're not going to be able to follow probably one golfer, or you might have to stay in one location more often. But you're still going to be out there enjoying some of the golf on the PGA Tour, which will be
It's good for the tour too, because they get the money revenue from that. They're going to lose out. So it's a win-win for everybody. And, you know, it's probably not going to be a full, you know, normal season even later in the summer. But, you know, anything with fans and anything with the sport being back is definitely a positive.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, like we were talking about, the test runs are these. I want them to be ready for the late half of the season, you know, where we have all the majors, the Ryder Cup. I want them to be prepared for that and make sure they have all the kinks worked out, so we don't have any problems on those tournaments where maybe, I don't know if it will still be around, but someone gets sick there and that really causes the problem I want. So yeah. I'm looking forward to, yeah, these first four tournaments really to work out all the kinks, all the bugs, and have everything figured out for that second half of the year where the big tournaments are and a lot more people will be watching.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, most of the big tournaments are – the majors are in August, September, the Ryder Cup in September, the Masters in November. So having these first couple months, not only for the players to get sort of back into their midseason form, but also for the logistics of the tournament, I think that's a good point. So I think that the tour is in a really good spot. And, you know, based off of what we've seen so far, I think that they'll be just fine.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear what some of the players say after that first tournament with travel, like, living in like all in the same hotel, stuff like that, how much things have changed for them, or if it really isn't that much different for them, except a little bit more cautious of social distancing and making sure they're not standing so close or touching the same things.
Yeah, I can't really imagine much would change. It's not like what are players really doing differently on a tournament week? They're not, you know, maybe I guess their families can't go. That's maybe the biggest difference. But for them personally, like, what are they really doing anyway besides going from the course back to the hotel or the course back to their house?
Yeah, so it's exciting. And since we don't have the tour starts in about a month, we'll say a little less than a month, but we do have some live golf this weekend. We got the charity event with Ricky Fowler, Wolf against Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson. It's looking at just the world rankings, it is definitely very much one-sided, I will say.
Yeah, I don't know why they I understood they wanted to do the Oklahoma State thing with Fowler and Wolf, but like it's not real on paper, it's not exactly a fair match.
Yeah, I was like looking at that. I was thinking, why did they, was this like sponsor? And I knew the Oklahoma thing, but I was like, and I'm like, well, no, because Rory's Nike, Johnson's Adidas, Fowler's Puma. So it was very weird. that, and it was weird that they picked Wolf as the guy. Maybe it was just they wanted someone who was Oklahoma.
Yeah, I thought they're all somehow tailor-made, but like, because it is tailor-made driving relief, but like you said, they're not big tailor-made guys. Like you said, like I think they just use their golf ball probably.
Yeah, I think did Rory switch to tailor-made recently or like last year or something? Maybe. And yeah. Maybe they all, yeah, but no, because Fowler's a Cobra guy, unless right. He's pushed over.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's a good point.
And I was kind of wondering, like with the Fowler thing, I was expecting him to be like Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
With like their relationship, you always see them hanging out and playing rounds together. So I was kind of surprised by that. But I am excited. I'm just excited for live golf to be back. I like Fowler as a guy, like the personality of him. Wolf might have the most interesting swing on tour right now.
Yeah, not kind of Jim Furyk-esque.
That's what I was going to say. He's kind of like the Jim Furyk of like our generation now. And then you got Rory and Dustin who are just monsters off the tee and everywhere. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It is nice that it's these guys playing because it is elite guys that are going out. Yeah. And obviously they're PGA Tour professionals, but it's some of the top PGA Tour pros.
Right. It's not like we're looking at, you know, guys ranked in, you know, 100th on the PGA Tour. These are the guys at the top. And I think that, you know, any golf I think would get watched, especially on national television, but having these guys makes it that much more interesting. And the format's good too. It's a skins game. They'll probably be mic'd up, probably a little bit of trash talking here and there. And, you know, I think it'll be a relaxed, you know, round, but also interesting and fun too.
Yeah, I feel the same way. If they're mic'd up, I know Rory and Ricky are big talker, not big talkers, but they're personalities.
Right.
Rory's a great match player, so it'll be interesting. I'm not really sure what type of personality Johnson has. He seems more kind of laid back, quiet.
Yeah, I can't imagine him really saying much.
Yeah, and Wolf, I'm not sure about too. Last year was I think his first year on the tour, last year that I really remember him.
But this is a big spot for him, I would say, to sort of raise his recognition. And I think that he could use this definitely to his advantage down the road.
Oh, definitely. Because he's one of those up-and-coming guys. Like, there's that new generation of guys coming up who are, you know, young 20s who are starting to make a name for himself. So, yeah, this is – I know we talked about it. We're kind of confused why he's on there. But it's for him, yeah, like you said, it's a great chance for him to make a name for himself. And if he plays well, too, I know it's for charity, but – plays well, you know, has some funny comments or you know, gives him a hard time. People will be watching this tournament and there'll be nice name recognition for him.
Yeah, and the format's going to be a skins match. Those two teams, you know, basically best ball for that team. So if, you know, Rory and Dustin Johnson make a birdie compared to Wolf and Ricky a par, they get the skin. 1 through 6 holes are worth $50,000 each. Holes 7 through 16, $100,000. The 17th is worth $200,000, and the 18th is played for $500,000. So a nice little boost as that goes up, and I think it'll be fun. I think that, honestly, it's the first real live sporting event back besides UFC, and I wouldn't be surprised if the ratings are pretty big because, you know, what else are you going to be watching on a Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, Sunday afternoon. I think NASCAR's back also this weekend. So yeah,
right.
But yeah, like you're saying, Sunday afternoon, people, you're stuck in your house. You know, maybe you got outside for a walk early in the day. You played around early in the day.
I'll be playing golf at 10 o'clock. I'll be right back in time.
Yeah, and then you're back for a nice – it'll be like – it's like a three-hour round. It's not going to be a super long tournament either, I feel like. I feel like it's going to be a pretty quick 18 holes for them. And as long as they're mic'd up and – like the thing with the problem I had with the last match – where they were mic'd up, but I don't know. It wasn't really
the Tiger Phil one, as you're talking about.
Yeah. So that's how I'm kind of like picturing this one, where it is that mic'd up, and you kind of hope they have a little bit more back and forth with each other. Where the Tiger Phil match, it was fine, but there wasn't as much back and forth between the guys, where they're just kind of goofing around, talking as much. Where I hope on this one, they're more laid back, talking, giving each other a hard time, you know, talking shit to each other, and making it more interesting for the viewers.
I think that's where Ricky Fowler would come in. And to your point, if they had like JT and maybe Jordan Spieth, like if they got that crew who it's close off the course, maybe that could have really been, you know, a good event. But I think just the sponsors wise, I don't know if JT's people or Spieth's people would allow that to happen. But like you said, I think that they want it to be more than just those four guys playing golf. They want it to be more entertaining with the trash talk back and forth, because it's hard to, you know, only four guys playing, it's tough to fill airtime. So you want that in between shots back and forth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You need to have something between shots, yeah. Because if it's just them playing golf, like, I mean, I love golf. We both love golf. But if it's just them hitting shots and being like, oh, nice shot there. Great. Oh, great putt. Right. It's not going to be enjoyable, because they don't have anyone else to go to. They can't switch to another hole and be like, hey, like, Jordan Spieth did this on 17. It's like, no, you're stuck on these four guys. So, and with it being a charity match, I hope they're more laid back, and yeah, like they're willing to give each other a hard time and kind of make fun of each other while they're out there, but also have a good time.
Yeah, and I think that'll be the same thing with the next match next weekend with Tiger, Phil, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning. So I think that maybe that match can take something from this match this weekend, find out, you know, what worked, what didn't work, what they could do, what they can't do, and you know, I think this will help out that match next week too.
Yeah, I think the same thing. Yeah, they'll take lessons from this one, what went well, what went bad, and kind of put it into next week and kind of figure out how they can improve. And if they do great ratings on this and there are certain things that work, that next week's match is going to be, I think, just as big, or if not bigger.
Yeah, probably bigger just with the name recognition. You'll get more of just the casual fan wanting to see, you know, Brady and Manning play, as this one is just pure golf. So, you know, I think that this is, you know, a good thing to do. I'm glad the tour allowed this to happen. Good to have golf back.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Yeah, it would have been a real shame if the PGA Tour, like, they put all together and the PGA Tour nixed it. And we're like, no, we're not going to allow it to happen. So I'm glad they, like you said, allowed this to happen. I'm very happy about that. So who do you got? Which team are you going with?
I'm going to go with the underdogs. I'm going to go with the underdogs and Fowler and Wolf. I don't know. Just my gut, root for the underdogs. I like Ricky. I mean, I like Ricky too, but I like Rory. He's one of my favorite players on tour. It'll be fun to watch, but I don't know. I'm going to go with the underdogs.
All right, I'll take Rory and DJ. I do like Wolf and Ricky. I feel like they have nothing to lose on this, so they'll probably be a little bit more laid back. And obviously all the money's going to charity, so it's not a huge thing. But we'll see next week on the podcast when we discuss the match two, Woods. What is it? Woods, Manning, Mickelson, yep. Brady. We'll talk about that next week on Breakfast Ball.
And maybe we'll have more news on Mass Golf. Maybe things will change by then, and who knows? Maybe there'll be more PGA Tour stuff. And golf's pretty much the only sport that actually has stuff back. So I think that's
Especially it's the only one with like good news too. Where
right, every other sport's the owners and players going back and forth. Golf's, you know, has a plan and they're ready to go June whatever 13th, 14th, whatever.
Everything is planned. Scheduled, good to go. So now it's just a waiting game for the golf fans.
Exactly. And that's more than any other sport can say.
Yes. All right. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.